Okay, hi, this is Beth at Betchins.net. I want to welcome you to the Just Right, No Excuses Virtual Summer Boot Camp. And I have a special audio for you here today, an interview that I have with Chris Wigan. And Chris, I sure hope I'm saying your last name right. But Chris is a writer. She's a wife and a mother of three grown children and a middle school daughter. She is also Nana to three granddaughters. She lives with her husband and her youngest daughter in Pennsylvania, returning there after a short sabbatical in Washington. Currently, she is working on fantasy novels and inspirational writing, and through her writing, she strives to share the Word of God and help people young and old to realize the love and mercy He has for everyone. When Chris isn't writing, she's active in her local church as a lector, in Bible study, volunteering at our daughter's school, helping the children develop a love for reading and writing. Jesus fills her home with love as she shares Him through her writing. And the reason that I wanted Chris to share is because I know that some of you are writing fiction books or fiction stories, and I really felt like what Chris was bringing to the table would be able to benefit you, just to kind of get to know a fiction author, find out a little bit about her journey, and maybe find out some good tips for you. I just felt like interviewing her would be a wonderful bonus audio for all of you, and I just can't wait to hear what she has to say. Chris, I just want to welcome you here to the call today.
Ah, well, thank you. And one quick correction, it's Wigan, not Wigan.
Okay. I was afraid of that. Sorry.
Yeah, everybody does it, so I'm kind of used to it.
I should have asked you before I hit record. Oh, well, see, that just shows you, it shows you about the perfectionism thing again. It's kicking in real hard now, so
yeah.
I apologize so much.
That's okay.
Okay, and you go by Chris instead of Christina, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much the only people that call me Christina are my father.
Okay. Why don't you share your website with the listeners today?
Yeah, it's www.weigandchris@gmail.com. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on that. I type it 100 times.
And you live in Pennsylvania right now? What part of Pennsylvania?
We're north of Pittsburgh, about 20 minutes north of Pittsburgh in Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania. So it's southwestern Pennsylvania.
Okay. Came there from Washington, so quite a change.
Yeah, well, actually, we lived in Pennsylvania first, and then we moved to Washington, lived in Washington for 6 years, and then moved back to Pennsylvania.
Okay. And are you working on your writing full-time now, Chris? Or are you also working outside the home, or are you working part-time, or what are you doing?
I'm right. I'm a stay-at-home mom and wife, and I write.
Full-time.
Yes.
Okay, well, I want to just dedicate this time together in prayer, and God, I just come before You in Jesus' name. I thank You for this opportunity. God, names are so important, and so I just repent for not checking before I did this. But God, You know her name, and You know everything about her. You know how precious she is to You and that You love her so much. And God, I just believe that today is going to be good, and I just pray that we would learn together and we would have a good time, and this would be a blessing to all the students in the writing boot camp. And we just dedicate this time to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Chris, I'm so honored and excited you said yes to this interview. And this was my first question. Some of the students in this boot camp are fiction writers and some are nonfiction. And I see that you have written both your Bible study and your series fiction books. And so I wanted to ask you first, have you always written since you were a child, or did you start writing later in life? How did you get, and it's kind of a twofold question, how did you get started writing, especially the fiction writing? Did you take classes, or did you go to a conference, or how did you get started with that?
Well, I've pretty much written my whole life, but I haven't, it was just for personal stuff. And then when I got married, I got married really young. I was 18 years old when I got married. And we had our family right away, so I kind of backed off. My husband was going to school. I was raising kids, being a soccer mom, and doing all that fun stuff, so I didn't do much writing. And then I went back to school and got a degree in interior design and worked in that industry for a little bit, but got laid off about 15 years ago. I got laid off from that job, and I tried something else, something math-related, which my brain doesn't function in math-related things. And that's when my last daughter was born, 13. Well, she just turned 13. So when she was born, I decided I needed to do something. We decided I was going to be a stay-at-home mom again, but I still needed something else because I'd been out in the work world. I'd gone to school, and I just felt that I needed a little bit more, something in a creative avenue because I'm a creative person. So I took a children's writing class, one of those ones through the mail, you know, you take the, you see in the magazines where you take the test and then they send you the stuff back and say, oh, you can do this or whatever, pass the test. And funny thing about it was when I took the test and I got the results back, I was going through some old papers that I had found, and I had actually taken the test many years earlier and it just never followed up with it because of lack of funds. So anyway, took the children's writing class, and it was for young children, and I just didn't feel like, I always felt like I had more to write than what a young child could, there was more to my story always, and I just couldn't write, you know, the, what is it, 40 words or whatever it is that goes into a really young child's book. It was always much more than I needed. So I took a couple more classes, and I wrote some adult stuff, and that you saw my Bible study, and I wrote for a couple of inspirational newsletters online, but I still just wasn't quite feeling it, feeling like that was my niche yet. And then I had written some stuff for young adult, but I hadn't really pursued it a whole lot. But I just decided, okay, I'm going to go with this. And so I went with that, and it's kind of where I am today. I feel that young adult is where my talents lie at this point, although I still write some of the some inspirational stuff for some newsletters and that, but my focus is mainly middle grade and young adult because I just feel that they're the future. They're the ones that need to be led and properly groomed, and so that's kind of where I am at this point.
So agree with what you just said. They are our future, so it's important that they get the right training and that we show them Jesus. And I think you're doing something very important, pouring into them. You said you took classes for the children's, but not for the young adult fiction writing. Is that correct?
Well, it was a through the mail course, and it was writing for children and teens. So it was kind of, it was through the Institute of Children's Literature. So it kind of addressed both. In fact, that's where the stuff got, my first short story for children, or for young adults, that's where it got started. And I realized that it couldn't be a short story. That's my other problem is I feel like I have difficulty writing short stories. It takes a whole different mindset to write a short story as opposed to a novel.
Oh, I agree, yes.
And what I encountered was when I wrote the short story, there was so much information in it that it had to become a novel. There was too much information in it for it to be a short story.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that quote? It's something like, I've got to write this short story. It's going to take me so long to write it. It just takes intense concentration, and you have to edit so much, and it has to be so concise. And I agree with you. It's so different.
Yeah.
Are you, okay, my second question is, are you traditionally published or self-published?
Traditionally published, although it's only, my books are only available in ebook. So I don't know, it's kind of a middle ground there. So far, they're only available in ebook. I can make them available myself through in print, but my publisher focuses mainly on ebooks at this point in time.
Okay, and I would like to ask you about that. We just had Joanne Four share about traditional publishing on her audio. And for those of you listening, I strongly encourage you to listen to audio. She has been traditionally published and self-published, and Joanne is just a fountain of wisdom. So be sure that y'all check out that audio for this boot camp. How did you, Chris, get this contact with this publisher? Did you look them up online or through a writer's market book, or how did you connect with this publisher?
That's an interesting, there's a little story behind that. I went to a writer's conference, and out west they have huge writer's conferences. I haven't so far found a similar thing back east yet, but anyway, so I go to this huge writer's conference, and it's secular writers conference. It's not a Christian writers conference. Pitched the book to, I pitched the book like five times to five different agents and publishers. And four of the five asked to see more. One was a publisher, and he said to me, "Are you willing to compromise on your story?" And at first I said, "Well, yeah, you know, I can probably, but my message is a Christian message, and I don't know how much I'm willing to compromise. We'd have to talk." Anyway, so I sent the stuff out to the four people, got four rejections back. I belong to Catholic Writers Group, and they run an online conference every year. And I happened to be going to the conference and saw that there was a publisher at the conference who was taking pitches and doing online pitches, which is something I'd never encountered before. But I said, what the heck, you know, I might as well try. So I went and pitched the first book. It was because you're always told, you know, you only pitch one book at a time, and you have to have, it has to be standalone, and you know, you don't even want to mention that there's a possibility that it's a series. So I went online and I pitched the first book. And she asked if there were, the publisher asked if there were other books to go along with it and how far along they were. And she asked for proposals for all three books, plus all the stuff for the first book. So I sent it to her and waited 10 weeks, and she wrote me back and they accepted the first book. I had to, every single book had to be submitted separately, that I couldn't, you know, she didn't send me a contract for all three books up front. So I had to submit every single book on its own, and then they, you know, agreed to publish it. But it was the weirdest thing. Like I said, it was an online pitch, and you just type your words in instead of speaking them. And it, my hands were shaking as badly or almost as badly as doing the verbal pitch to face-to-face with the publisher. But, yeah, that's kind of how it happened. It was just, it was an interesting thing.
Wow, Chris, that's amazing. That's God's favor on you. And I want everyone to hear that. She said, well, first of all, she went to the writers' conference, so hear that. writers' conferences are important. The one that I went to with Class Services was incredible. It was the only one I had ever gone to, and I had never met other writers and speakers before. So it's a really good place to go and meet our breed of people, if you know what I mean. There's publishers there. There's editors. But hear what she said. She pitched to those people, and then they were interested in her story, and which I feel like that in itself is unusual. I mean, the ones that I encountered were pretty snobby, but she got rejections, and then she went into this other one and got someone else interested in her work. So don't let the rejections stop your writing. Keep pitching, keep writing, honing your craft, and that is just tremendous that they said yes, and that lady went to see more of your stuff. That, I mean, to me, that is a rare story. I don't know if you feel that way, Chris, but to me, that's just so rare for it to happen that quick and that fast.
Oh, yeah. I was just in total shock. And, you know, I didn't even have the stuff quite ready to put to send to her. And one book was finished. The other two books were in different places. So I had to go through and, you know, put together synopses, whatever they are when they're plural. And it took me a couple weeks. It wasn't something that I had ready to send out the door right away. But after waiting, I think it was 10 weeks at that time. Now it takes a little bit longer with this publisher. But I waited the 10 weeks, and when I got that first letter, it was like, I was floored. And I knew at that point that, you know, God was moving.
Yeah.
Because it took going to a Catholic Writers Guild conference, and she wasn't asking me to change anything in the book. She wasn't asking me to pull back on the faith-based stuff that was going on in the book. And God was moving at that point.
I agree. Now, when you went, I want to ask you a couple more questions about that. When you went to the writers' conference, both the physical one out west and the one online, did you already have Did you already have a proposal ready? You said that when she asked you for your materials, you didn't have it quite ready. So did you already have a proposal ready and a synopsis ready at the writers' conference, the one that you went out west? And then second of all, how did you know how to write a proposal and a synopsis, which some people may not even know what that is, so you might explain that too. Did you get a book to learn how to write that? How did you learn how to do all that?
Well, it was a matter of, you know, talking to a lot of other writers who, you know, have been asked for stuff. I've got a couple books here that I've looked at. Because fiction and nonfiction are two different animals.
Yes.
You have to find the right book to address whichever type of book you're writing. So I looked online to a lot of websites, and just the other problem is with synopsis, which is your whole story put into a shortened form. So
like
I had
two
to take
pages or what?
It depends on who the publisher is and what the publisher wants or what the agent wants. Some of them want one page. Some of them will take five pages. So you have to kind of, you know, it's almost like your pitch. You have to have something, a whole slew of different things put together, and then you give them what they want. So,
had you been to a writer's conference before that one, or was that your first one?
I've been to a few other ones, but I hadn't pitched to anything, so I hadn't really, because I'd never had anything that was ready to go, so I hadn't pitched anything, so those were my first real pitches, and like I said, and every single one of them asked for me to send them something different. So it was a matter of, you know, myself going back and coming back to my house afterwards and sitting down and saying, okay, this guy wants this, so I pulled together that package and sent to him, and then the next one, so it, you have to know what your publisher is looking for or your agent is looking for, and that's what you send them.
Okay. And for those who, that we've got all different levels in this boot camp, Chris, so for those who don't know what a pitch is, what is a pitch?
That's basically you're telling, it's what you say, you go in and you meet with this editor or publisher, you have 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, and you tell them what your book's about and what you are about and what you know. And then, like I said before, the synopsis is actually your whole story condensed into anywhere from 1 to 5 pages. And you need, it needs to be the whole story. It's not like the blurb on the back of the book that just gets you, that just pulls you into the book. A synopsis has to tell you the whole story, because your editor, the publisher, the editor, the agent, whatever, is going to want to know the whole story and how it ends. So, and a pitch is almost the blurb, but it's a little bit more than the blurb, because you really have to get that agent interested in looking at your book and looking at you.
I agree. And one thing I would add is when I went there to the writers' conference and I pitched to several different editors, one tip I would give is you need to have that pitch ready. You need to have practiced. To make them immediately interested. Otherwise, they're going to say, what else do you have?
Yep. I remember standing in the line waiting to go into the pitch sessions and practicing in line on the other, you know, the other people that were standing in line with me. There was a whole group of us there, and we were all pitching to each other and practicing. In fact, I took a pitch class. What I liked about the conference that I went to is the first couple days were spent helping you prepare for your pitch, and then they didn't start the pitches on the first day. The pitches didn't come until like the third day of the conference or the second day of the conference. So the first day, they had all kinds of workshops, preparing your pitch, practicing your pitch, what should be in your pitch, all this kind of stuff. And then, so I had written a pitch before I went, and then I'd gone through my critique group and everything. So I was kind of prepared, but when I got there, then I fine-tuned it. And then I can, like I said, I remember standing in the line, practicing on the other people that were standing in the line.
That is a great idea. And that people in the boot camp might take that up and maybe have a call or something where they can pitch to each other before they actually meet with the editor.
Yep.
Okay, so the next question is, and we've only got a few more minutes, but how do you get inspired to write your fiction books? Where do your creative ideas come from? And do you, I'm kind of putting all this in one question, do you base your stories on actual real life events? How do you get inspired?
That, I always struggle with that question, and the one answer I come up with is God gives it to me.
Yes, I agree.
I'm not out there being struck down by lightning and saying, this is a story. And I look at other, I'm friends with a lot of other writers, and they're always saying, oh, I've got this idea for the story, and I've got this idea for the story, and I've got this idea for the story, for another story. And I never feel that happening to me. I sit down and I start writing, and the characters take over. I don't know where the ideas are coming from, and I don't know.
I would say you said it right at the beginning. God gives it to you.
Yeah.
Okay, the next question is, do you have a writing schedule or routine, or do you write as the Holy Spirit, who I believe is the muse, leads you?
Probably the second one, because I've tried to do a writing schedule, and even now I'm trying to build a writing schedule, because I know that I need to focus on it more. And I suffer from terrible procrastination. Mm-hmm. I'm always on Facebook and checking email, and so I know it helps to have a schedule, but a lot of times it's as the spirit moves me, and so that's where I am. And that's why I don't have anything other than my 3 books out there right now, because it just...
Well, the other students can relate to, because they've mentioned that procrastination and distractions also. So you're right that we're all in there together. So we all have to push past that.
Yeah.
The next question is, have you ever encountered writer's block, and what did you do to overcome it?
Well, yes, I guess I have. When I was writing the second book in the trilogy, I had written the first book, and I had written what I thought was the third book, and that's another story. But so I knew where the second book was supposed to go and what was supposed to happen. And I was doing it in November. I don't know if you've heard of NaNoWriMo, which is national. Yeah, I do that every November. So I'm writing the book in November. I do an outline, which I usually don't do an outline because I'm a seat of the pants writer. I'm not an outliner. Mm-hmm. So I did this outline because I thought, I know where this story is supposed to be going. I know how it begins. I know how it ends. So an outline, this should be a piece of cake, right? So we did this outline. Well, my characters went on strike. They would not let me write that outline for anything. What it took to get past, and this is the second week of NaNo, right?
Okay, some of them might not know what that is. So
okay, NaNo is National Novel Writing Month, and every November there's an international competition to write 50,000 words. And they've got to a point now where there are some prizes if you succeed in writing the 50,000 words. Amazon participates, Scrivener and a bunch of other sponsors participate and have prizes and that. But you sit down in November and you write 50,000 words.
The goal is to write a novel.
Right, to write a novel. So here I am, the second week of November, my characters won't let me write. They won't tell me what the story is. And I'm like, what do I do? So I looked at the outline and said, it's the outline. They don't want to write what's in that outline. So threw the outline out and was able to write them. I just had to let the characters take over and tell me their story. And it kind of changed things up a little bit. And as I mentioned, the third book I thought it was already written. Well, in writing the second book, I realized that the characters in the third book were actually kind of secondary to the story that was happening in all three books. And I kind of had to put them on a back burner and let the characters from the first two books take over. And things changed, and I had to explain things, and but that's what writing's all about.
Yeah. Now, I want y'all to hear what she just said. She said she is a fly-by-the-seat-of-her-pants writer, and to get unblocked, she threw out the outline. So some of you are going to need structure because that's the way your personality is and you need the order and that structure. Others of you, it is going to stifle your creativity and you're not going to need an outline. You're just going to write. And I'm really kind of in that camp. I usually just start writing. I don't usually outline. Now, sometimes I have, but usually I do not. So hear what she said. She threw out the outline and her writing began to flow. So you need to figure out what it is that what works best for you. Okay, the next question is, let's see, just a few more minutes, a couple more questions. What are your next goals for this year? Do you have another book in mind?
Actually, I'm working on, the boot camp is kind of pushing me forward on it. I started...
Yay!
There's Dragons in the trilogy, that's already published. Well, at the end of the trilogy, and they're on a fantasy world. They're not, my book was a whole fantasy world, you know, different place. The dragon, several of the dragons left the planet. I'm giving a spoiler. In the third book, at the end of the third book, they left the planet that they were on and came to Earth. They landed on Earth at the crucifixion of Jesus. And my goal is to eventually have a whole series of books following the history of Christianity where the dragons kind of lead or guide the followers of Christ and protect the followers of Christ. And I have probably four books right now that are in different places. And the one I'm working on is actually more of a contemporary one. I have one that's set right up, like I said, at the crucifixion of Jesus and the start of Christianity. The second one is set in the Middle Ages. And then I have two contemporary ones now that are in the works and I'm working on right now. That's what I'm working on is, you know, just the battle for Christianity and kind of putting a fantasy twist on it.
Mm-hmm. There is a real battle going on right now, that's for sure. I believe. I believe we're in the end times and we're coming down to the wire now. So, yeah, we're definitely in a spiritual war right now. Okay, and so you, Chris, you prefer writing the fiction. You feel like that's where your strength lies, right? I know you wrote a Bible study, but do you prefer the fiction over nonfiction?
Yes. Although I do have, I mean, I wouldn't mind sometime in the future doing another Bible study, but yeah, I pretty much prefer the fiction.
Okay.
I'm comfortable there, and I just feel that's where God's led me. I feel like, you know, that's where the young adults and the middle grade, that's where I need to get to them, or where that God wants me to get to them. Because I've struggled a little bit with, because there's magic in the stories, there's dragons in the stories, and I've struggled with that a little bit. But I feel like, you know, that's the avenue that God's using me on. So that's where I am.
And have you been able to share some of these writings, like at schools or just talking to youth or?
Not yet. I am in the process of trying to figure out how to get to that place.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm thinking. You can market yourself in your books is maybe talking to teachers or just even bookstores. You might talk to, and I know a lot of bookstores are closing now, but you might talk to bookstores about having a talk there and just sharing a little bit about your story and then doing some book signings. So that might be an idea for you.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to explore those avenues. My daughter goes to a Catholic school, and I would love, in fact, she was going to a Catholic school, and we lived in Washington, too, and I actually got to go in the classroom and work with the kids, but I focused on writing, because writing is something that I feel is very important, obviously, and so I was working with the kids on writing. Since we moved and she's going to a new school, I haven't been able to get into the school yet and really work with them, but so far my books haven't made it. I mean, I donated books to the school in Washington. I haven't done it here yet, but yeah, that's an avenue I really do want to explore. I'm also looking to the homeschooling network. There's a pretty big one here in Pennsylvania from what I understand. So, But my problem there is that my books are not in print. They're e-books. So I have to find the avenue. And, I mean, I can go through CreateSpace and do that. I just have to do it. And get the print books available, and then I have, you know, alternatives. But it's something that's on the to-do list, and it just I have to find the time to do it.
I've got a couple more resources for you, too, for the print on demand. There's Vervanti, and the one that I'm using for my upcoming book, Promises in the Dark, is Heritage Press, the lady who formatted my book. She works for them, so I'll post that in the forum for everyone.
Okay,
but when
yeah.
to read what Chris's website says about the youth. I thought this was so good. This is on her blog,
WiganChrist.com.
WiganChrist.com. So y'all be sure to check out her website. But it says, why does she do this? She put her why, and this is important for you to know why you're writing your book. And she said, to provide to middle grade and young adult readers a balanced reading palette. While they may be reading vampire books in the light, I also want them to see God's side and to have a fuller, more well-balanced vision of what is out there so they can make informed choices in their lives. And I just love that. I thought that was awesome, Chris.
Well, thank you.
And she also has to help young writers explore and embrace their God-given talent. And for adults, she has her why is to promote hope and encourage women and men in their faith journey to show that in spite of all the darkness in today's world, that we can still find the light of God's love to guide us through the darkness into his glorious love. And I believe so much that God uses the power of story to do that, such as Chris is doing, and I just think that's tremendous.
Thank you. Sounds so much better when you read it out loud like that.
Well, it was so good. I just love reading that. So y'all be sure to check out her website. And Chris, just for a final wrap-up for our audio, are there any tips that you could give the beginner writers and the students in this boot camp for writing fiction or just writing in general? What encouragement, because some of them are really struggling with the I can't write or how do I even begin or is this even possible? What hope can you give them and what encouragement can you give them and motivation?
Yeah, I'm not really good with this kind of words, but just write. Just do it.
Yes.
Just do it. We have this little thing. I don't have it posted since I moved, but button share, hands on keyboard, or hands on your pen, you know? Just do it. Or as Yoda would say, there is no try, just do.
Yeah, I was reading that last week. I thought that was funny.
And read, you know, read everything and don't give up because it comes. I've been doing this, like I said, I've been writing my whole life. I've been actively writing for a publication for 15 years and it's just the last year that I finally got the books in print. And I'm in the same boat as everybody else with my new stuff. I have a book right now that's at my publisher. I'm waiting for her to send me a note back saying that they've accepted it and they're going to publish it. So, you know, you just got to keep doing it and don't give up. If it's your passion, then stick with it. Don't let someone else tell you not to do it.
Amen. I so agree with that. Now, her life is testimony. She went to these writers' conferences. At first they didn't accept her, and then she went to this online conference, pitched it, and she got accepted and all of her books that she was pitching. And so that is just tremendous. I want to encourage y'all in that to learn from her experience, and y'all keep writing and learn how to pitch. She talked about the pitching classes. She talked about the proposal. Get books on writing proposals for both fiction and nonfiction, depending on what you're doing, and learn about the synopsis. These are things that I myself need to learn too, so I'm preaching to the choir here. So Chris, this has been really helpful, very informative. I'm just fascinated at your experience and what you're doing. So I want to thank you for sharing today. It's been an honor to have you. And
it's been an honor to be had.
So what I'll do is I'll post this audio. I'll send out an email And I'll also post it there in the Facebook forum for y'all to have access to it. So let me close out in prayer, and then I'll end the recording. Thank you again,
okay.
Chris.
Oh, thank you.
God, I just thank you so much for Chris being my guest today. I thank you for what you've done in our life. I thank you for the inspiration it is to the rest of us. God, that don't be hindered. Don't be stopped. It doesn't matter if you get rejected the first time. You just keep going. God, you're the one that gives that favor. You're the one that gives those open doors of favor and opportunity. And God, you're the one that inspires. Chris said it, that you're the one that gives us the ideas to write. And the writing comes from you. God, we want to glorify and honor you. Jesus, we just lift you up. And God, I just thank you for what you're doing in Chris's life. I ask that you would continue to bless her and continue to open doors for her writing. God, give her your words of life. I just ask that you would inspire her with your Holy Spirit, with your words of life, God, to help young adults, because it's so true. They need guidance. They need wisdom. They need to know that there is good and there is evil, God. There is no in between. There is only holy and what is unholy. And so, God, I just pray that you would lead and guide them, and that you would speak to Chris, even in prayer times and just quiet times of reflection, and then you would inspire her to write those books for your glory. God, I thank you, and I praise you, and I hope this has been a blessing to all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.